Praise God. So tonight I'm going to share several things that the Lord has shown me that I believe really are funneling into this hour right now. This next several months are critical. They're pivotal in the future of our country. And so I think that the things that the Lord that the Lord showed Mom that she shared last night were so important and helped us to see behind the scenes what God was doing and helped encourage our faith. And I believe the things that the Lord just brought back to me today will help us as well. So let's pray and then we'll get started. Several of these things you've probably heard bits and pieces of or in their entirety in the past, but now's the time to bring them all into focus, all into one place so we can pray for them. So Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I thank you for our time together tonight. I pray, Father God, that you would send forth your Holy Spirit to guide and direct our entire time from this teaching to the prayer time that would follow. I pray, Father God, that you would ignite our spirits with yours and we would be engaged in this fight. And that, Father God, you would increase your anointing upon the intercessors as we buckle down in this time, such a pivotal time, as we buckle down, oh God. I pray that you would increase the anointing upon each and every intercessor. That our prayers go up to the throne, they would be more effective. As they blanket the nation, they would be more effective than they ever have been before. I thank you, Lord God. I give you praise, and I give you glory, and I give you honor. In your precious name, amen. All right, so the first one that I'm going to share, I want to just, I guess, preface this whole thing with the vision the Lord gave me clear back in September of 2020, where he showed me the eagle carrying the American flag with the five weights attached. The first weight being media is the first to fall. In that lineup, however, is academia, it's bloodletting, it's religion, not Christ-centered, but compromised religion, and communism. And I believe we're in the process of seeing these corrupt institutional systems come down. And as they come down, the intercessors have to continuously work to reclaim their original plans and purposes as designated by God for this nation. What does that mean? These, I don't want to call them institutions, but they are institutions. Academia was implemented 106 of 108 universities set up in this country in the 17th and 18th centuries were set up to teach, set up as seminary schools. And if you go and read the requirements of the students and the faculty at these institutions, you will understand why academia needs to return to God's intent, to their actual intent upon their founding. I was going to share more on that today, but after yesterday, the Lord deviated me from that. So maybe next week I'll do that. Religion, as I shared a couple of weeks ago, I shared how when the liberal theology came in at the end of the end of the 1800s over into the early 1900s, and how that was brought in because of Darwin's theory of evolution, and it impacted these institutions. It impacted not only the school system, but it impacted the church And that's how liberal ideology entered the picture. And liberal ideology sees the Bible not as the inherent word of God, but it sees the Bible as, you know, more a mythical thing, more pictures and stories that help show of the power of God, but not actual real events, because that tale of Darwin's impacted them. And so from that point, and then in the 30s, and then again in the 60s, we had a major influx into the church. We had communism that came in, and they pushed a watered-down gospel. And then we had Jesuits that were sent into every single denomination. And everyone that opened their door to them, every single denomination, the Jesuits came in, and they were tasked with a watered-down gospel. Why is that? Because they knew that if they could weaken the church, they could take America. Without removing the church, or let me rephrase that, with the church in place, strong and intact, they knew they could never take America. They knew it. These were their plans, to weaken it and bring it down. And they knew they had to go through the church. They had to do it. So God is, that's why that is one of the ways. God is going to bring that compromise system down. And then communism, and I'm going to talk more about that in just a little bit, but it is those that have been bought out by communism, those in the political realm that have been bought out. And I'm going to address that specifically as we close up tonight. So I believe that we're in the process of seeing them come down. And we as intercessors need to continue to pray that God will strengthen and redefine, that he will bring about replacements. Wherever possible, replacements, the new breed of educators, the new breed of journalists. And in many cases, we just need to a rebirth of the church, to be honest with you. The decision by the court is further evidence of a communist-led corruption throughout our justice system, and we are going to reclaim the justice system too. Number two. It was 2 weeks ago, I shared a vision the Lord gave me of his SEAL Team Sixers. Those are the intercessors that I saw rappelling down to the tectonic plates within the nation to anchor truth to those plates and stop or diminish the shaking. You can find that audio on our website, and it's entitled Overcoming National Tribulation with a Three-Chord Strand of the Lord. If you just put Overcoming National Tribulation in the search engine, it'll come up. You can read it or you can listen to it. And in that message, I talked about the tribulation in the nation. I talked about the overcomers. And I talked about the three-strand cord. And I'm sharing this again because we're actually in the shaking that the Lord showed me was coming. At the beginning of that vision, I saw the whole nation begin to shake. And it was at that point that the intercessors, the SEAL Team Sixers, I didn't know they were intercessors at the time, SEAL Team Sixers came out of their houses and rappelled straight down into the tectonic plates and hooked that three-strand cord of truth to those plates. And I talked extensively about what God is calling us to do in this hour, in that message. But we have been called into duty. Our orders have been released. And we've been called into active duty. It's time right now. We're seeing this take place. Our prayers are more important than ever because we will keep this nation from being ripped apart. Think about what Daryl just shared at the beginning in the good news. And he's talking about how organ is literally on the verge of being ripped apart. Everything but Portland wants to leave. Why? Because the people don't want to be a part of a corrupt system. But God doesn't want the nation ripped apart. He's trying to rebuild. It's a rebirthing of our nation. So we truly need to be praying for God's will to be done. Is it important that these reports come forth? Is it important that people rise up and seek a secession from a deep blue state? Yeah, it is. It's important because it speaks to the discontent of we the people. The same thing is happening here in California. There is an uprising in the heart of we the people. And let me tell you, the decision they made yesterday, they did wake the giant, let me tell you. Okay. The third one, true and long-term justice. On Wednesday, I was in prayer over these jury deliberations, and I saw a headline that said hung jury. And to be honest, I didn't know whether this would be positive or it would be negative. And I sensed that all I could do was cry out for justice, which is exactly what I did. I cried out for the hammer of justice to come forth on behalf of President Trump and our nation. In the natural, I felt a not guilty would have been more in keeping with God's justice, but God is not into temporary fixes. He's rebirthing our nation. When the verdict came down, I knew in my heart God was answering that prayer. But in the natural, I'm just being completely honest with you, I was sick to my stomach. As the minutes passed, I came to see the wisdom in this process. It had to happen this way. If we'd had a hung jury that I saw, that would not have been God's justice. So while a great miscarriage of justice occurred yesterday, God is going to bring his mighty hammer of justice down upon the justice system through this event. We will see it with our own eyes. You are going to see corrupt judges exposed en masse. We are going to see this with our eyes. The people of this nation had to witness this event so that God, they could see how God moves his mountains. It's really hard when you see such a miscarriage of justice. It really is difficult, especially because we're intercessors and all we do is cry out for God's justice. But God, he knows what he's doing, and he's allowed this to expose the justice system. So stay the course. Number four, Trump is the Washington of 24. I woke this morning. My spirit was already in prayer. I'm sure many of you are going through that now too. As I woke up, I woke up and I literally felt my body moving upward. It was the strangest feeling. I for a moment I thought I was asleep and I was dreaming, but I wasn't. I felt my body moving moving forward, moving upward, and kind of up and down in this rolling motion. It was though the ground was swelling and moving across the land. It was rolling over and over, and I looked to my right, and I looked to my left, and I saw seas of people on these ground swells, and they were moving and moving toward President Trump. Wave after wave was crashing at his feet, and this was not in an idolatrous manner, but in a massive groundswell of support. It was a heart of, we're with you in this fight. I found myself traveling in the midst of one of these groundswells as it moved across the land, and it rolled right up to him. And I looked up at his face, and superimposed upon him was the face of George Washington. And the Lord said, Trump is the Washington of 24. And I know it's kind of difficult to see how The future of a nation sits at the feet of one man, but that is how God works. That's the authority structure God has for nations. Can you imagine if we had 50 presidents? I mean, we see already what happens in the House, and they got all kinds of representatives from all the states. It's a crazy thing to watch them when they're just trying to pass something that most of us would not agree with, by the way. Do you see how different states handle COVID? They have their own state constitutions, and they have their own legislators, and they're bound to their state constitution, and those states are bound then together to the U.S. Constitution, which is at the helm. So we're going to look back at George Washington. About 250 years ago, we were initially 13 colonies. Each colony had a slightly different slant on how their individual governments operated. They each had one leader, but their laws and such were based on who settled there, what their commerce was, what the needs of the citizens of their particular region actually were, and so on. Like, they would have laws that were marine laws, and then they would have laws that were for farming and stuff. So based on the needs of that state, of that colony, they would have laws that would protect their people, that would regulate commerce, and so on. They were, for the most part, content to remain colonies of Great Britain as long as they could maintain the religious rights and freedoms they came here to obtain. However, it was the increasing religious oppression under the crown, coupled with the added taxation without parliamentary representation, that ultimately tipped the scale. It was this pressing of the British upon the individual colonies that actually forged the 13 colonies into one nation under God. They knew as individual colonies, they never stood a chance. But if they came together and stood as one, they might be able to throw off the bondage of Britain once and for all. They had to make a decision. Were they willing to lay everything down to form a new government? The leaders, every signer on the Declaration of Independence, were technically British citizens. If they were to sign on that dotted line, they would immediately be seen as a traitor to their country, and a warrant for their arrest would be issued. They would be hunted down, tried, and hung as traitors to the crown. Let that sink in. The country that we have the privilege to live in today was signed by men who laid their very lives down for this nation. The risk was worth the price they would have to pay. They knew deep within that they had to come together, because the opportunity to be at the heart of a nation that was led by the people, for the people, was unprecedented. It was a republic, the very first of its kind. With a revolution upon us, we see the favor and protection of God upon Washington as he rallied the states, the troops that would have to rise up and so on to engage and persist in this unprecedented event in history. God supernaturally protected Washington because he was the key to holding it all together. Again, a republic was being birthed. Failure was not an option. If we look at Washington's earlier years, he was a commander in the British Army, and he was unwavering in his stance. He'd been chosen long before, even as a young man at 22, and when he fought on the on this very soil in the French and Indian War. And Mom and I talked about this just recently. Two horses were shot out from underneath him. Four bullets got stuck in his jacket. Not even a single one were capable of penetrating the man God created to lead this nation into freedom. Every other commander that was on horseback in that battle were shot and killed, but not Washington. He just got himself another horse and he kept riding, commanding and encouraging the troops. Why did he survive when the others couldn't? Because God created him for something greater, and nothing would deviate God's plans or thwart his purposes. When so much hangs in the balance, God forges one who is mantled for the hour. My ex-husband was a police and fireman, and there was a sign in the firehouse, in the fire station, that read, "Remember, when others run from the fire, you run into the fire." So that was true of the nature and character of Washington. He could have sailed back to Britain, retired, and lived out his days. However, when he saw the nation on fire, about to be consumed by the flames of Britain, he knew he could not pull back. Instead, he had to run headlong into the fire and rescue the nation from Britain's grip. And this is so true of the nature and character of President Trump. That's why the Lord said, Trump is my Washington, the Washington of 24. He could have retired. He was loved by all. But his destiny was to run into the fire and rescue America from the grip of the cabal. As soon as he rose up, it exposed them. And he became their target, and they directed all of their efforts on him. Everything from the media to church leaders to academic institutions, communist-bought government leaders, and so on, they all rose up against him. Every weight, the Lord told me, must come down for America to be free and to break the stronghold of the oppressive communist regime from this nation. And ultimately, many nations, if you remember the delivery of that message, is on the line here. And I'm telling you, those weights are coming down. The eagle will fly free and strong, just as the Lord showed me. God chose one man, Washington. God chose one man, Trump. We saw God chose Lincoln. God chose one man that would handle pivotal moments in our nation's history. And this isn't uncommon for him. Listen to this. Moses led the people from the oppressive regime of Egypt. Joshua led the people into the promised land. David defeated the Philistines, unified the tribes of Israel into one nation, and ushered in the presence of God in Jerusalem. Josiah led the reclamation, reformation, and reconciliation efforts in what little remained of a nation that had turned from the God of their forefathers to the idols of the previous tenants. Paul took the gospel to the Gentiles in the midst of two oppressive regimes, the Romans and then, you know, the religious group. Luther led the 1517 reformation that served as a catalyst to birth America. Washington led the 1776 revolution, and Trump is leading today's revolution. God chooses one man, and he raises up the support to rally around them. He forges them. He forges within them the ability to withstand the pressure. They're created for it. It's up to the intercessors to pray them through. So if we move ahead now to the to yesterday's verdict, it almost seems like an eternity ago. We are in the crux of this fight. You know, as in January 1st, the Lord told me, buckle up. And it's, I remember so distinctly, it stopped me in my tracks. And I remember saying, what? And he said, buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy ride. And I shared that on our call the first night that I taught after coming back from the break. And I encouraged everyone to be ready for a rough year. And Mom has been doing the same all this time. We're going to see the media come unglued by this verdict with excitement, like a kid on a sugar rush. They are going to be thrilled. We're going to see academic leaders rise up and praise this corrupt jury and the jurors of the trial and the judge, sorry. We will see religious leaders do the same, unfortunately. And we're going to see government leaders, the left, the communist Democrats, and the rhinos, they're going to do the same. You will know exactly who is a communist and who isn't by the time the circus is over. When you go to the polls in November, and this is why, back to what I said at the very beginning, why it's so important to take note of this time that we're in. Because we're in a time of reformation. We have been since 99. We're in a time of a revolution. The Lord showed me that last year, the year before. And this year, he said, we're in a time of reclamation. All these things are working to bring America back to God's plans and purposes for it. So when you go to the polls in November, you need to remember the faces who stood with Trump. When you get in that booth, remember who stood with him and who didn't. And I strongly encourage you to vote on the side of the Lord in this issue. Before I close, I'm just going to share a couple of things that the Lord gave me for Trump. Prophetic words, visions that he gave me while we've been going through this rough time. In October of 21, and you can find these on the websites, Hurricane of Justice. The Lord said, justice is coming. And I felt these words reverberate through my body, and it was a voice of thunder. I asked the Lord, I really had no words because the fear of God, the terror of the Lord was upon me. But he knew my thoughts for what we've passed through. Because what happened is he took me through a hurricane. He took me through seven bands of a hurricane. We were in the center where there was peace, there was doves flying around, and then we went back through the hurricane to the other side. As we passed through to the other side, the fear of God fell in greater measure. It fell and it fell and it fell until it was so heavy, I almost felt like I couldn't breathe. The seven waves of justice, President Trump, what they did to him from the moment he came down the escalator. God is bringing justice. How so? This case is clear back from 2016. Bragg said, Alvin Bragg, the DA, said he wasn't going to give it the time of day because it wasn't worth it. It's $130,000 of so-called hush money. But when he went to run for office, he picked the case back up all these years later. All these years while President Trump is running for office. Why? Because they couldn't get him with the Russia thing. They couldn't get him with the Ukraine thing. They couldn't get him with this, with that. They tried to impeach him. They tried to take him out. One, two, three, four. They couldn't even vote him out because the American people still see that man as their president. He has greater support today than he did when he got on that helicopter and left D.C. So they had to bring this case and interfere with this election. Now, it might surprise you to know that Hillary Clinton paid some people some hush money when she was running for office to the tune of $1.8 million. $1.8 million. You know, those that she didn't have killed, she paid to silence. But we don't see those cases coming forward. We know this is politically motivated, but see, God is using it to cause the uprising in our nation, to wake the sleeping giant, and to get the people behind this president, God's man, for the job. And so what we see taking place right now is truly God is about, and you know, I'm sure many of you heard that they crashed the servers yesterday because the groundswell of support, financial support, that came out for President Trump when that verdict was read. People that donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to Hillary Clinton in 2016 donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to President Trump yesterday. Tulsi Gabbard came out with a 3.5-minute video, and she said, "This is tyranny at its worst. We are in the midst of the kinds of things that we see take place in third world countries when they seek to destroy their political opponent." And she said, "Your best way to defeat this tyranny of this regime is to vote for President Trump in 2024. Incidentally, Tulsi Gabbard was the first Democrat that the Lord told me would leave the Democrat Party. And he said, Tulsi Gabbard's about to leave the Democrat Party. She will be the first of many. I think we're about to see a groundswell of support and departures from the Democrat Party in the coming days. The other six waves, let me see what time it is. Okay, the other six, I only have a few more minutes. So the other six waves, it's the church, the pre-born slaughtered at will, the victims of COVID-19. These are businesses, people that have suffered under vaccine mandates, the economy, people who lost family members and jobs and such. The fifth one is elected officials who aren't in the rightful place. The sixth one is the blood of the martyrs, past and present. You can think of everything that Biden has done and the deaths that have resulted. You can think of the J6 because you have to factor into that living martyrs. And God sees the J6 defendants as living martyrs. He really does. Mike Lindell is another one. Several of the ones that they keep trying to cancel, but they can't get rid of them, those ones. And our flag burned mercilessly in the streets in 2020. The flag represents an adamant stand against tyrannical rule, and that goes all the way back to the very first vision I shared tonight. When that flag is flying free, and that eagle soars across our nation, it's going to break communism. I saw the sonic boom take place when that last weight fell, and it broke communism from our nation. And that eagle flew around the world, breaking communism off every nation that would. It was powerful. In the end of that experience, the fear of God was so prevalent across our nation because we saw how mightily God moved, that 1950s atmosphere that mom has talked about, and that I actually recently experienced myself, we're going to see that. Because when the fear of God rests on you, your inclination to do harm to your fellow man, your inclination to sin against God, your inclination to crime, all of that diminishes. Because you have a fear and a holy reverence for God, whether you're serving him or not, it just rests on the land. And then I'm just going to briefly share this, and then I want to share this next generation. It is so exciting because the Lord began this week with this, and this whole message was going to be about this next generation, and I want to share it with you because it will encourage you in the fight. Keep pressing in because we are paving the way for this next generation I'm going to share with you. Okay, so before Trump was ever elected the first time, I had a vision of him, and he was stepping out onto the stage of the inauguration, you know, the inaugural stage. And when his heel hit the ground, it was very pronounced. His heel struck the ground, and then it seemed like several seconds later, his toe struck the stage. And when that happened, everything that President Trump had experienced in his life, every success and failure, everything that he has overcome, and I believe, and I was praying about this morning, and I firmly believe this season of time is part of that because the people have to be ready for what God is going to do. Everything that he had gone through literally passed through him and poured out over the nation like liquid gold. And there was healing and unity that fell upon the land. And again, what did it take to take this nation from 13 colonies and forge it into one nation under God? A we the people, republic, it took a crisis. And today, we're back here. We're in a crisis. And God wants to forge these 50 states. But we, the people of these here United States, a republic, an unprecedented event, the longest standing constitution in history, he wants to reunite us. And that's what we're going to see. So do not give up or let up in your praying. Now, why? 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 Not just because we've been praying for a quarter of a century for this nation and, you know, we really want to see God's plans and purposes come through because, you know, we do. But this, listen to this. On Tuesday, I had a vision of this next generation. We were actually on our staff line, and we were praying. We were closing up the call, and I was praying for the children of our ministry. And I had a vision of them, and they were emerging from the darkness that they've been in, like being reborn through the birth canal. As they came through the canal, and everything was really dark except for these white streaks in this canal. As they were coming to the end of it, they began to reach out and grab these vines that they really look like strands of light. And I thought that they were till they grabbed hold of them. These strands represent the victories of God that have been obtained through the school of the Spirit. As they emerged from the canal, they launched forward on their feet, and they took those strands that were in their hands, and they like whipped them forward and released them out across their generation. Those strands began to expand and impact young people all around them. It multiplied and magnified until I saw light envelope the generation. The Lord said, my glory is going to pour in 2024, and when it does, our youth will be among those who receive the greatest measure of blessing from this immersion. The destiny of God, that which was written on the scrolls of our children, our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews, before they were knit in their mother's womb, still stands. Regardless of what you see on the surface, continue to press in on their behalf. Decree and declare God's plan. And I firmly believe our young people need to be not only be on their own journey through the school of the Spirit, but they have to be on the journey of this nation through its rebirthing process. Together, they will minister to and strengthen their generation and be a part of retaining and maintaining the work we've been doing for nearly a quarter of a century. There are two groups that we're dealing with, those that have kind of just been victims in situations and those that have gone astray, and they're partaking of it. They're partaking of the corruption. Why is that important? Why must they have been part of it? Because they have to have succumbed to it. They have to have been fighting for it to know it so well. So when they come out of that canal in this rebirthing process, they recognize the corruption for what it is. They have to have experienced it in the depths of their souls so that when it's time for them to take the reins, they're ready. They're going to look back and remember where they were and how God brought them through and how God brought our nation through. And they are going to be ready to retain and maintain what we've done. Listen, Washington fought for Britain, and then he fought for America. Trump rubbed elbows with the swamp, and now he is fighting with the swamp. Wherever our past is, God will use it for his plans, his purposes, and ultimately his glory. What we see on the surface is a mighty shaking to loose the corruption, to loose the deception, and to break this communism off our nation once and for all. We will see it extracted from the media. We'll see it extracted from the educational institutions. We'll see it extracted even from businesses. We're going to see it extracted from our nation. And the destiny of this nation, God's plan for this nation to be a father to the nations. That means an example, a leader to show them the way, to spread the gospel unto all the earth. To be a refuge nation, most especially in the end times. And for those who have fled from countries where they have endured much persecution, and to stand with Israel. That's our destiny. As intercessors, our responsibility before God is to pray for his will, his plans, his purposes for us, for our children, for the church, and for our nation. If you've been born and raised in this country, sometimes it's hard to see why, especially if you've never traveled outside the country, why America is so key on the world stage. But let me tell you, what we have here, you'll never see anywhere else. Ever. You've never seen it. It's up to us to retain and maintain it. Continue to stay the course. and trust God. Pray for President Trump. God has mighty plans for him, for our nation. Pray for those that rally around him, because they're going to be under attack. Pray for our youth, for their eyes to be opened. And pray for the church. Pray for the church. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for the intercessors. I thank you for these words that you've given both mom last night and that she shared last night and me tonight. I thank you, Father God, that even in the midst of our emotions and our own natural feelings, Lord God, you come forth and you encourage us, you warn us, you prepare us, whatever the case may be. You meet us, O God, and ignite within us your faith. Ignite within us your plans so that we can buckle up and we can stay the course and we can wrest this nation from the hands of the cabal together. I thank you, Father God, for your mercy, for your love in this. I give you praise for your faithfulness. And I thank you, Lord God, that you will indeed, as that song that we play every call, do it again. Your promise still stands. Do it again, Lord. In your precious name, amen.